Thank you, David. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those readings. And we do pray that as we think about them this morning, you would move in our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in today's reading, we find ourselves in a place where heaven meets earth. We find ourselves outdoors one night where the membrane between heaven and earth was at its thinnest. We conjure up the scene in our minds, don't we? But we rely on childhood images, beautiful angels, cartoon shepherds with smiles and gleaming teeth, and we get sentimental about nativity plays. But if we take a closer look at our readings, we discover that when an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Surely our cartoon shepherds never get afraid of a few beautiful angels, at least. Well, if you go back to the original language, we find out that this heavenly host literally means heavenly army. Think Trooping the Colour or Red Square or something like that. It would have been an awesome sight. And even though in reality our cartoon shepherds are hardened men, used to fighting off predators at night and exposed to extremes of heat and cold, they still collapse in terror in front of this heavenly host. This was a gritty exchange, miles apart from our nativity play images. For many of us, our romantic Christmas brings back childhood memories, doesn't it? And we want to recreate the season of peace and goodwill every year. And we can manage it to an extent for a little while, can't we? Perhaps as we are decorating the Christmas tree with our children. I was reflecting, actually, that back in when our children were younger, we've got a video of them when they were putting one or two baubles on the tree and then dancing around the tree to a video that was playing, a Walt Disney video that was playing in the background, and then a couple more baubles would go up and then they'd dance around the tree again. But they're 31 and 28 and 25 now, so can't really expect those sort of things to happen anymore in our house. This romantic Christmas is often a fleeting thing, isn't it? It evaporates all too quickly. We remember the story, don't we, of 1914 on the Western Front, where the soldiers of the two sides came together, ate together, talked together, and even played football together before going back the following day to shooting each other. Maybe it's like that with us. Maybe we get to Boxing Day with peace and goodwill, but then we start to run into a little trouble. We know only too well, don't we, a false peace in our families or a false peace in our world can't be whipped up for long. And that's why the real Christmas story faces up to the reality of our experiences, faces up to a world full of violence and disorder and distrust, and offers us real solutions in a gritty world. I deeply appreciate that God did show up and announce himself with angels that night, because the truth is, I need his help. And if you're anything like me, I'm sure you do as well. Because without the Christmas story, what started off as a problem will end up as a crisis. What started off as going over budget will end up in debt and shame. What started off as a pattern of unresolved conflict will end up in divorce. What started out as a bad habit will become an addiction. What started as a flirtation will turn into an affair. What started as procrastination will turn into unemployment. What started out as sarcasm will turn into a life where no one wants to be my friend. And deep down, we sense that our world could be different with God. Our lives could be different with God. And when we honestly reflect on this, God doesn't say, well, let's play, let's pretend. Let's go back to your romantic ideas. The Bible tells it like it is, gritty and real. And from that comes real hope. But the fact is, for the most part, we have banished God from his world. We've shut out the glory of God from our lives. St. Paul says it, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We know deep inside when we're worshiping the wrong things, idolizing meaningless things, and hence losing out on that valuable relationship with God. And although God doesn't force the issue with us, as Steve says, sometimes he creeps up behind us, but he doesn't force the issue with us, but he is the source of hope. And in the coming of Jesus, we discover good news of great joy. We discover the end of fear and the beginning of joy. That's why the heavens are ablaze with singing. At last, God has intervened. And this joy is not the same as the bonhomie that we try to conjure up at Christmas with mince pies and mulled wine. It is the real and lasting peace that follows when once again God is given his rightful place in our minds, in our lives, in our hearts. Our rebellion and idolatry have cut us off from God, and peace can only be restored in our lives and in our world when there has been complete reconciliation. And there's a cost to this reconciliation, isn't there? If you've ever had to forgive somebody, really forgive somebody, you will know that that was costly for you. The Christmas message is that God himself has become the great reconciler. He was the one who did the work, paid the price of the reconciliation. That's why the angels sing about good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Only a God of boundless, everlasting love would do this, to restore all things, to bring everlasting peace on earth. A true reconciliation between God and man, between God and you and me. No wonder the angels are singing, glory to God in the highest. Even they are marveling at what God is doing. The angels can't be ignored. They're telling the good news of God's glorious intervention in history for eternity, which touches all people, including every one of us here this morning. And the shepherds, what did they do? Well, they responded urgently. They said, let's go. They were humble enough to realize that they needed this reconciliation with God, the peace of God brought by God's Son, Jesus. And we too can say, let's go today. To Jesus Christ, there is no other way in our lives. The shepherds realized, and hopefully we do too, that God helps people who are experiencing tough lives. God helps people who ask. God helps people who are scared. God helps people who can't help themselves. And God helps people whose lives are out of control. Now, to be clear, God helps other people too. God loves us so much that sometimes he will show up for no reason at all and offer help. One of the signature characteristics of God the Father is that he makes the sun to shine on both the good and the bad at the same time. So this morning, I'd like to give us all an opportunity to respond to the message of Jesus. This Christmas is a great time to do it. The angels bring to all of us a message full of good news and of great joy. Why would we want to reject that? Why would we not want to receive it? There's no fantasy, no let's pretend with the God of the Bible. It's real and it's gritty, fit for the world we live in, fit for the lives that we are living. God is able and God is willing. So can I encourage you to join in this prayer if you would like to, in your heart as I pray it. Maybe you'd like to bow your heads, open your hands to receive from God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this Christmas you continue to break into the world. Just as you did that night 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord, that you have a vision and a purpose for my life. And I'm sorry that I haven't lived up to that promise in so many ways. Please forgive me. And now, Lord, I want to receive your strength, your purpose and your encouragement in my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can begin to love as you love, so that I can begin to forgive as you forgive, so that I can begin to live as you live. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can have peace in the midst of the storm. So that I can beat that thing I'm addicted to. So that I can treat my family better. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can spend my money well. So that I can have the self-control to do the right thing. So that I can have the patience to deal with my situation. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your deep, gritty love this Christmas. Amen. So do enjoy the carols, the turkey, the presents. Enjoy those things that remind you of your childhood. Share the love this Christmas. But remember, when all is said and done, the gritty, real Jesus of Christmas remains alongside you and me, reconciling, strengthening, forgiving. And in prayer, we can be close to him forever. Do come back here in the new year to continue your journey. And join the faith course that I mentioned at the beginning on the 22nd of January. That will be a great place to stop and reflect, to ask questions, all over a cup of coffee. What's not to like about that? Happy Christmas. Amen.